It's 28-8, and that means it's time to talk sport with Warwick Hadfield. And Warwick, Germany's Sebastian Vettel has won the Formula One World Championship.
And now Sebastian Vettel wins in Abu Dhabi to be drivers' champion for 2010. They will celebrate.
The last 10 laps, I was wondering, because my race engineer, Rocky, he was every lap trying to give some advice and trying to help me to carry the car home. And I was thinking, why is this guy so nervous? We must be in a good, bloody good position. And then he comes on the radio and screams at me that we have won the world championship.
A bloody good position indeed, Sebastian Vettel. But Warwick, not such a bloody good position for Mark Webber. Bad news for him.
Yes, Fran, racing under the lights in Abu Dhabi. He finished eighth while, as we've heard, his baby-faced Red Bull teammate Sebastian Vettel produced the drive of his still incipient career. He is the youngest driver ever to win this title. And at 23, he gives the impression his next shave will be his first. And there were certainly no shaves overnight, close or otherwise. He took the lead early from pole position and clung on to it until the end of the race. And the end of that race was the only time in 2010 that Vettel has led the Drivers' Championship. But he did win three of the last four Grand Prix. So while Webber and also Fernando Alonso, who finished second and third, were justifiably disappointed, the rest of us just couldn't help but join in the youthful German's celebrations. Bloody unbelievable. He channels Roger Federer a lot with that unbelievable. In the local vroom vrooms, Mark Frosty Winterbottom won the V8 race at Simmons Plains in Tasmania. But the real battle, the unbelievable one, was between the blokes who finished 12th and 15th. James Courtney, still ahead of Jamie Wincup for the series title. Courtney looked to have given up the lead after sustaining a drive-through penalty. And no, that doesn't mean he stopped for a hamburger. But Wincup had to stop and get petrol, allowing Courtney back into the lead. In golf, the Australian Stuart Appleby was in his absolute pomp yesterday at the Victoria Golf Club venue for the final day of the Australian Masters. Beginning the day way back, the 39-year-old local, who grew up in rural Victoria, hitting golf balls around paddocks, he produced a stunning round of 65 to glide past Adam Bland, the lefty, who had led the tournament for 68 of its 72 holes. Now, Bland by name, but not by nature, the South Australian led by as many as 5 strokes yesterday before a nervous implosion late in the game. He missed a relatively simple putt that would have ensured a playoff with Appleby. In contrast to Bland's uncertainties, Appleby plonked in a 6-metre putt on the 16th, then birdied the last two holes. His only near miss thereafter was the presentation, for which he arrived late because he was in the loo. And he certainly didn't miss in his media conference, noting he wouldn't have minded just a small mention on all the posters and all the other advertising for this super hyped event. Most of that went to a chap by the name of Tiger Woods, who also produced a pretty good round yesterday, 65, but just a tad too late to win the tournament. To cricket, and talking about super hyped, the announcement of the squad for the first Ashes test will be announced on live television today, all at the request of the publicist. Cricket is apparently fighting to retain its place in the national psyche, and this is part of a response, probably not the timing the selectors would have liked, though. Ian Chappell, the former Australian captain, he added a bit of sagacity to all the hype yesterday, suggesting that picking Mitchell Johnson could be a double-edged sword for the Australians. Now, if Mitch bowls well, that's great, but if he decides to play on a different wicket to everyone else in Brisbane, the Ashes could be gone before this time to find a replacement. And Chappell also wants the selectors to pick Stephen Smith, the all-rounder, on suspicion. And I wonder if Ian Chappell has also been saying all this to his little brother Gregory, who these days is back on the selection panel. The selectors have other concerns too, mainly around the fitness of vice-captain Michael Clarke, who has a crook back. In soccer, we've got some real hard news here. Perth didn't lose. Robbie Fowler scored a hat-trick, in fact, as the Glory won their first game in 11 matches, beating Melbourne Victory 3-1, completing an unhappy day for the Victorian clubs. Brisbane beat Melbourne Heart 2-1, going along beautifully, the Roar at the moment. And now to the rugbies, and if this is too painful to hear, cover your ears. We have a rampant, with the emphasis on the Ram, no doubt, triumphalism across the ditch after New Zealand produced miracles at will against the Kangaroos in the final of Rugby League's Four Nations competition. And who'd be an Australian in London right now? England beating the Wallabies by a record 35-18.
Ooh.
Good judges. Yeah. Well, good judges are saying, Fran, it was the Sweet Chariot's best performance since a certain World Cup final a few years back. And if the Wallabies lose this weekend to Italy, a game for which they might be without halfback Wilgenia, get ready for the return of wailing and the gnashing of leather patches. More sport tomorrow, Fran.
Thanks very much, Warwick. It's 24 minutes to 8 on RN Breakfast.